Mm-hmm.
Did you want to do this third one? Okay.
And I'm a great bird fan.
You're going to have to scroll with.
Yeah, two fingers?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Crocuses and crows. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 13:12, New International Version. The crows are out in force in the downtown east side today, investigating nesting, or maybe resting at the midday. Crocuses, croci, are also reaching for the sky, a new chance to thrive, however, January has yet to pass, spring living. They say crows can recognize individual humans, something I'm convinced is true, but can they mark the people that are absent? Those we knew who did not get through, those who died before their time from accident, from overdose, from crime? And croci, heathering scarred, do they memorialize our brothers and sisters and uncles who have died from poverty and toxic drugs and suicide? The crows dressed in perpetual mourning with their mysterious calls. Is Mama Crow crowing for the humans who are gone? So much is unknown, signs we can only read in part. So hard to know the way forward. Safe supply, harm reduction, recovery beds, mental health treatment, poverty reduction, community care. We know that crows are smart. It helps them to survive. We know that crocuses don't try hard when they thrive. Wise, we need to take the politics out of it. I know crows fight gulls and eagles for territory, nesting sites, and airspace, but they don't fight. Croci don't compete for space. They grow where they are planted, clumping together and spreading out, just being beautiful, just surviving. Humans can learn from crows. Be smart. Take turns. Cooperate. Hang out together. There will be squabbles, but settle quickly for the common good. We can learn from croci. Be beautiful in groups and individually. Reach for the same sky, the one that keeps us all alive. Be smart. Be present. Don't just walk away from there. These crows and crocuses have made my day, returning to the place where they lived last year, reproducing, teaming up a way to cooperate and limit fights and agree to grow. There is so much that I can't see, so much that I don't know. I'm hoping we can cooperate to make the death rate slow.
Wow. We're going to... here an ecology show that on some days plays bird songs. So while we just digest and think about that poem, we're going to hear a few bird sounds. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at CJSF Radio 90.1 Burnaby, streaming worldwide at CJSFA. We are today looking forward to the launch of the Megaphone Annual Magazine. We'll be hearing more about that, but we just want you to bask for a few minutes in the sound of the birds and think about that thought. Crocus and crows don't fight each other. We are on the planet together.
Hi, my name is Fundraising and Communications Coordinator at Megaphone Magazine.
Hi, my name is James Witwicky, and I'm a member of the Shift Newsroom at Megaphone, the copy editor of Megaphone, a Megaphone vendor, and a contributor to Voices of the Street.
And I'm Charlotte Farrell, host of Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, and I'm a Megaphone today for the great things that Megaphone has in store. Tell us about the event that you have coming up. It's the annual
launch.
Yes.
Well, so the annual launch takes place every year in May, and it's really exciting. We have usually 8 to 10 readers reading their work, and this includes a panel discussion from two peer photographers who did the photography for The Faces of the Street this year, which the theme is Bread and Roses and Safe Supply. The launch is taking place on May 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. at 149 West Hastings Street. You can find tickets on our social media at Megaphone Mag. And it's a really beautiful event, a based event. We, you know, if you care about literature, if you care about people, if you want to hear some really beautiful writing from local artists, we would love to. And I would say I coordinate the events for Megaphone, and I actually, this is the one I haven't done yet since I started, but I know it's going to be my favorite, and I am the most excited for it. So that's what we have coming up on May 17th. But actually, the anthology itself is released to the public on May 3rd. So as of May 3rd, for $15, you can purchase the Voices of the Street 2024 edition from a local vendor. And they buy it for $5 and they sell it for $15. So you are helping the community raise their own income in a low barrier way, and they make $10 off of every sale.
And it's beautiful. I think it's the most beautiful, unusual book I've seen because it's in full color. How many things
no,
today?
No, they're not all in full. Is it full color?
Most of them are, I believe, full color.
Yeah, I mean, if you have use color anywhere in a publication, they charge you for full color. But can you tell me a little bit about the connection between the things that you see written on one that you'll see on the page?
Yeah, so we conducted 4 writing workshops, and please, James, feel free to jump in here because I know you are well-versed in that. But we conducted 4 writing workshops in collaboration with OnSite, which is a detox program in the downtown east side. So we had some writing facilitators come. And this is such a popular time for Megaphone with this event coming in the publication that we had to do sign-up sheets to have the public, primarily people in the downtown east side, come to these writing workshops and work with the theme of Bread, Roses, and Safe Supply. And while that was happening, we actually had 2 peer photographers who are incredible artists, Basilia Ramirez and Eva Takakanu. And they went out with Amy Romer, who is a photojournalist. Her work's been in National Geographic, I want to say the Walrus, many other very incredible publications. And she went out with them with disposable cameras, and they went around Vancouver and they took photos of Think to the Theme. And so the photos work in tandem with the published pieces, and our editor Paula, she combed through and picked the adjacent pieces with the photos of what would well hand in hand with each other. And you know, we've got like over 30 something pieces in this anthology. It's a really thick, thoughtful poetry book. So, I mean, I'm so excited for it to come out.
It's so different because, I mean, the quality is like magazines that are far more expensive. I planned to read a couple of poems with last year's, and as I started to look at the pictures, I thought, how did that picture, it's so amazing that the picture communicated what the person had written in their poem or their story. It was just a labor of love, but I thought, how did, I think I read, because you read one way and then you turn it and you read the other, I read all the ones on one side because it was just so engaging to think of the connection that had to come from the heart of the photographer to connect with the book.
Yeah, I think traditionally over the years they haven't directly equipped photos. In fact, at one time they used to have vendors on the cover, but they wouldn't tell you who the vendor was. So it doesn't always directly equate with, but I think now over the last few years, so that would be 22 23 24, Paula can take a lot of the credit for doing the photo editing and for connecting the two things thematically. because she's the one that has the final say in that. I think I've lost my telephone.
You've lost your phone?
Yeah, I was using it right before we came down to look for a playlist, but now I don't know what I did with it.
We'll find it. It'll probably be upstairs where you're sitting.
Yeah, so one of the things I like to ask people about, three P's and two C's, but we've talked about one of the P's, which is your project, but also your purpose and your passion. How do you feel that this reflects your passion?
Yeah, well, I mean, I mentioned before about my Bible, so I'm a Christian. I go to church regularly. I'm part of a church called Strathcona Vineyard Church. And so we talk a lot about social justice. And so I feel like I have a responsibility to somehow participate in social justice. But at the same time, I have a disability, and I'm also not able to write full-time. So Megaphone gives me the opportunity to engage with some of these subjects, like Safe Supply, and comment on them and maybe encourage people to think. So the participation with Megaphone is kind of a passion of mine because it gives me my opportunity to work part-time but just participate in something without working full-time.
Without the stress of...
Well, yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to... I traditionally, even now, I've been in recovery for over 12 years, but I probably still would not be able to cope with, like, full-time activity. So, but in a way, the other thing is true that I have a permanent disability, that I live off of a CPP disability. I have social housing. I have the bus pass that you get that... When you have a disability, so I mean those things support me in my work with Megaphone. So,
and you mentioned you've heard of driven life. Do you think? Well, I asked somebody about purpose-driven life, and they thought, God, purpose. I don't know what the do you believe in a purpose-driven life, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been at the same church now for I think 9 years, and I was involved on the leaders team, and I was as active as I could be, but then I also found that it was very stressful. So I think it is. I think the purpose-driven life is me wanting to know what does God expect from me. There's a quote from 1 Thessalonians 4:11 where St. Paul says that the people there should lead a quiet life and mind their own business and do the work of their hands. And so for me, the work of my hands is not cleaning my apartment, it's doing writing. So that's my purpose, is to be part of this, but the writing, whatever, do the writing work. And and other than that, to lead a quiet life and get along with people. I know that's sometimes antithetical to being an activist, but I'm not sure that I am an activist.
But you found a way of taking some activist action. You take action, but you take action in a way that doesn't have people hitting each other over the head with, right. What do you call it? People were doing this in some of the demonstrations on college campuses yesterday, hitting people over the head with curbs or things, but just reaching the heart and soul of a person so that they think about the words that you said. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, I think James is absolutely an activist. And we have a good comedic relationship, James and I. But to be serious for a moment, it's an honor to work with James. He's a wealth of knowledge about everything, about so many comings and goings of the Downtown East Side. And I consider myself an incredibly lucky person to work with someone who's both passionate and kind and so intelligent. But I thought that I was going to work in traditional publishing was my career goal. But I knew I always wanted to work in social services. And I'm feeling now that I've been at Megaphone for almost a year, that I can only do purpose-driven work in the way of working with social services. I have family history on the East Side. My father's a recovered drug addict for over 30 years, and actually yesterday he came to the Megaphone office for the first time. Wow. And he looked at me and he thanked me for working down here, and this is purpose-driven work, and not because, oh, you know, we're in the downtown east side, we're you know, in the community. It's because the people that come in and want to participate, and the people who want to talk to us and be involved in Megaphone, is every day it's a gift. They who were involved in Megaphone 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people who submitted to Voices of the Street, you know, in 2013, or come back for the first time in 11 years, and they just want to chat. And it's like this beautiful gift. And I think the passion just comes from community and caring about people, and not even, you know, the saviorness of wanting to help and do. It's just, you just care about people, and you just get to know them through their writing and conversations and their work, and that's what sustains it. That's what sustains Megaphone, and I think that's what sustains us as people too.
And I think, you know, not discarding this worldwide model that you talked about. Oh, that won't work. Oh, yes, it can work. And so I think that that is a remarkable, you know, thing in a way of looking at. Sometimes people look at, if they're only looking at a religious picture of purpose-driven life, narrow view of issues like, you know, activism or issues like caring for your neighbor as for yourself. So I think that you showed this still works, because there's so many things today. Oh, that won't work. Oh, nobody's buying vinyl music. Mm-hmm. Oh, nobody's writing articles. Mm-hmm. People aren't reading papers. Mm-hmm. But you're demonstrating and expanding, you know, that it does work.
We're stubborn. That's what it is. We're 20 years of stubbornness now.
And that's a remarkable legacy. You look like you have a poignant thought.
There's a couple things we haven't really touched on today. Okay. I did meet Saunders this afternoon. That was the founding editor of Megaphone when they switched from being Spare Change, and go and get his mom to pick up the magazines and go around and deliver them to the various depots. So, and the other thing is, right now Sean is working with the Van City Office of Community Engagement. Van City Office of Community Engagement and the SFU Office of Community Engagement are instrumental in helping us to do this launch. I mean, they give us a fabulous theater. It's got wonderful sound. It's got sound technicians. It's got producers that help our producers. You know, so there's that thing that they're all, I don't know how, when it all started to come together, maybe 2016, but we've had a lot of support from the community and a lot of various different kinds of in-kind support. And those are what help to keep this thing going, the machine, if you will, that makes Megaphone and Voice of the Street and Hope and Shadows. Like I said before, it's bigger than the vendors. It's bigger than the products that are produced. And they've been tremendously successful with doing that. And not only that, but folks like Bianca and the previous ones that were doing their job, they often go on to do some really amazing work afterwards. So Megaphone is also a training ground for that.
An incubator.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with James. Our community, because he's so intelligent, you see what I mean? Our community is, you know, we can only do what we do because we have videographers and photographers and venue spaces that will donate 85% of the cost to Megaphone. It's probably more rare than you would expect, but those that do stick with us and donate to us in that way, those in-kind donations, not just make Megaphone go round, but, you know, that's what builds community and the world. And like, if I have a joke that I always fall in love with the people we outsource, because they understand Megaphone at its core, and they're willing to sacrifice, you know, 90% of what their income would be on a project like this, because they understand that this isn't just Vancouver's downtown east side. This is intersecting marginalizations of people that need support, and this is how they can provide that, you know, the most firsthand that they can. So yes, Van City Office of Community Engagement, SFU Office, but like BCGEU, UBC Creative Writing, QP, all of these people are doing the work of helping us. But it's like our graphic designers who get a huge discount so we can actually make the anthology at all.
Because right, when I looked at it and I thought, oh my goodness, I know so many writing groups and clubs who can afford printology. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by you having this 20-year
legacy?
2011, so this will be the 14th, I think, from in 2011, the first one came out, and it didn't even have a date on it, and then 2012, and then every year since then. In 2021, we had to go a little bit underground and make poetry videos, which I always laugh about that, because of those poetry videos, like, nobody watches poetry videos, unless it's spoken word, but I mean, nobody watches those poetry videos, but we did have to make them because of COVID. And that was when our friend Holly Sakaki was producing those with her brother Jason Sakaki, who's an actor. They're just amazing. I mean, and putting things like that together on the spur of the moment.
It's a labor of love. It's just a whole bunch of people being really good at a lot of stuff and helping us out with it.
Right, and a model, because you've created a model that can be, by being connected worldwide, other people can see what you're doing. And when people say, what kills me is when people say the government, but the government won't take care of it, but the government is us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and being able to hear, know, and get involved in community activities are the real things that will make a difference in the world. You're showing that, and you know, people can come out on the 17th and see and celebrate what has been accomplished, and also ways that they can contribute to help it, you know, help keep it going. Mm-hmm. So there were people that I saw with a, I guess it's a vest on. Mm-hmm. Some people have the vest, and I just was amazed at the interaction. You know, it's not like when some people come up and they are aggressive with people, the politeness, the energy, the way they engage people with the publication, that not only did that one person buy, but, you know, a couple of other people came up. Is that something that you find people already have, or how is that a part of your program for orienting or training the sales reps?
Well, so our vendor numbers went down because of COVID. And when my coworker Devin joined Megaphone, that was, I think, his personal number one goal, was he wanted to retain new vendors. And he has. He retains, you know, 10 or 15 new vendors every month. And these new vendors are often people who, a lot of them are returning vendors from, you know, 2013, 2014. A lot of them are referrals from other vendors. As a side income, you know, you should go in and do it as well. And honestly, our coordinator, Devin, is such a personable person, that these are people that he, and he's just such a kind, warm, it's in his soul to constantly be reaching out to people. These are people that, you know, he runs into and is like, hey, do you want to join Megaphone? And I do think that everyone who comes through the door does have a kernel of optimism, I would say. It's very rare that they're not smiling or excited in some way to get started. And that's the beautiful thing about Megaphone, too, is we're right by the entrance to our building, and we kind of joke that we're the almost lowest barrier space here, because as soon as you come in, you can just come in and say hi on the left. And it's true. Anyone who walks through the door and just says, what is Megaphone? You know, we're there to say, this is what it is. Do you have half an hour? We'd love to give you some free product. And then we pay them for their mentorship time. They get a mentorship with a seasoned veteran vendor, and they get paid $40, and the mentor gets paid $40. And it's just a way for people to generate income where they don't have to, you know, sign all these papers and do all these things. It's just, you know, everyone wants to make some money, and yeah, everyone who comes in is just optimistic about building community. And that's how we market it too, is do you want to build community?
Right.
Because, you know, you go to these spots, you go to your distinct spot, and slowly over time people remember you. They recognize about Peter, who's been with Megaphone since 2008 or something, and he's in Kitsilano, and he thinks it's so funny how worried the community will be for him if he takes a sick day. He takes one day off, and then he comes back and they go, where were you, Peter? You weren't here yesterday. Are you okay? And he was, right, you know, at his granddaughter's birthday or something. So it's just, it's on all count. It can be a really beneficial program, and I think people see that when they come in.
Well, I would say for the building here, 312 Main, mm-hmm. CJSF, that's our downtown. We have main broadcasting spot is Burnaby Mountain. Mm-hmm. But from downtown, we have an office and broadcast studio here. And my first day there, it was Stefan at the door, an ambassador.
Yeah.
And by the time, you know, I met with someone at the office, I already knew about the publication, mm-hmm. And I felt welcomed. I mean, you're like ambassador thing there. It's across from your door. I didn't know where the door to Megaphone itself was for the longest, but I knew mm-hmm. where Stefan was, and yeah. I could get the newspaper or get a calendar. I waited to buy my calendar for the year till I could connect with him. So I think it's just beautiful that what you express is ideals for the way this different type of business model works with people, and look forward to your celebration and announcements and hearing the way you continue. Thank you, Bianca. Thank you, the original James Witwicky, and we'll see you again next week at 10. And you know what I say when people ask me what time it is? I say it's always love time, poem time. I'm Sister C, and I'll see you again.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place.
Place. How can you protect your keys? Simply attach a Waramps key tag to your key ring. If you lose your keys, the Waramps can return them to you by courier for free. Waramps key tags, they're free and they work at Waramps.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do for you right now?
Philosophy Department office and tell them I've been requested.
Philosophy Department?
Yes, call the Philosophy Department office.
Riot police arrest the chair of the philosophy department at Emory University and over two dozen others on campus using tear gas and tasers as a wave of student protests.